ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 25, entitled The Three Modes and Beyond, Text Number 27. Sattviki, Adhyatmiki, Shraddha, Karma, Shraddha, Tu, Rajasi, Tamasi, अधर्मे या श्रद्धा मत्सेवायां तु निर्गुणा। सात्विक्याध्यात्मिकी श्रद्धा, सात्विक्याध्यात्मिकी श्रद्धा, कर्म श्रद्धा तु राजसी, कर्म श्रद्धा तु राजसी, तामस्य धर्मे या श्रद्धा, तामस्य धर्मे या श्रद्धा, मत्सेवायां तु निर्गुणा, मत्सेवायां तु निर्गुणा। सात्विक्याध्यात्मिकी श्रद्धा, कर्मश्रद्धा तु राजसी, तामस्य धर्मे या श्रद्धा, मत्सेवायां तु निर्गुणा। सात्विक्याध्यात्मिकी श्रद्धा, कर्मश्रद्धा तु राजसी, तामस्य धर्मे या श्रद्धा, मत्सेवायां तु निर्गुणा। सात्विकी इन द मोड ऑफ गुडनेस, आध्यात्मिकी स्पिरिचुअल, श्रद्धा फेथ, कर्म इन वर्क, श्रद्धा फेथ, टू बट राजसी इन द मोड ऑफ पैशन, तामसी इन द मोड ऑफ इग्नोरेंस, अधर्मे इन इरिलीजन, या विच श्रद्धा फेथ, मत सेवायाम इन माई डिवोशनल सर्विस, टू बट निर्गुणा ट्रांसेंडेंटल। Translation by the followers of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Faith directed towards spiritual life is in the mode of goodness. Faith rooted in fruitive work is in the mode of passion. Faith residing in irreligious activities is in the mode of ignorance, but faith in my devotional service is purely transcendental. So there is no purport. I'll read one more verse. Text 28. Pathyam putam anayastam aharyam sattvikam smritam rajasam chendriya prishtam tamasam charti dashuchi. Food that is wholesome, pure and obtained without difficulty is in the mode of goodness. Food that gives immediate pleasure to the senses is in the mode of passion, and food that is unclean and causes distress is in the mode of ignorance. Purport: food in the mode of ignorance causes painful disease and ultimately premature death. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langay Tegirim Yat Kripatam Aham Vande Shri Gurum Dinataranam Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripasindubhya evcha patitanam pavnebhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namah Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this chapter we are reading is the three modes of material nature and beyond. So in, as we see in Bhagavad Gita is like the ABC of Krishna consciousness, and we have 700 verses there, and Srimad Bhagavatam is like expansion, it's like further explanation of the verses of Bhagavad Gita, and it has 18,000 verses. So there we see in Srimad Bhagavatam the same the themes are picked from Bhagavad Gita and they are further elaborated, and there are examples given that how those principles given in Bhagavad Gita can be applied in life. So the and live examples are given, so it makes very interesting. So if we tell someone a philosophical point that, oh, this should be done, so that can make some effect. But when you tell, oh, this person did like this and he got this effect, so then it makes more better impression. So similarly in Srimad Bhagavatam we see there is so many personalities whose life story is discussed, and you know how they dealt with various things, which is exemplary. So that's why this Bhagavatam is so important, that it just explains the same themes in a better way. So we see even the some of the chapter names are same. So there's Bhakti Yoga, Dhyan Yoga, like that, and this chapter little different name. So in Bhagavad Gita we have 14 chapter, the three modes of material nature, and this chapter is the three modes of material nature and beyond. So so it's like in chapter 14 and also in other chapters these three modes are described. For example, the various things that are affected by these three modes, like food, faith. Today's the two verses that we read today, the first one which is on the board, it says about faith, and the next one tells that how different food item, foods, different foodstuff fall in three modes of material nature. So these two are basically described in chapter 17 of Bhagavad Gita, and in chapter 18 also. Then there's different things like happiness and work, like that. They are described how they are in three modes of material nature. So like that, we see in Bhagavatam there's further elaboration. So this chapter which says three modes and beyond, like that. So in Bhagavad Gita basically many things are given, that how like faith is in three mode, mode of goodness, passion, ignorance. But here in Bhagavatam there is further elaboration where it says and beyond. So then Krishna further elaborates that about the fourth mode, or the pure goodness, mode of pure goodness, which is transcendental to the three modes of material nature. So he also discusses about that, like in this verse he said the faith in my devotional service is purely transcendental, like that. So there it's given how in people whose heart are affected by three heart is affected by these three modes, they develop a different type of faith, like that. Those who have, you know, predominantly mode of ignorance, their example is given, they would worship, they would have faith in worshipping spirits and ghosts, like that. And Srila Prabhupada then gives example how in India there are some villages that when they, you know, come to know that there is a tree and there is a ghost who lives on the tree, so they will start worshipping that tree like that and that ghost. So this is a very degraded form of faith. So, because it says that if you worship ghosts, you go to the ghostly plant where they reside like that. Yanti devrata devan pitrin yanti pitrivata bhutani yanti bhuteja yanti madhyaji nopima. So those who worship demigods according to their faith, they will go to the planets of demigods. Those who worship pitris or the ancestors, they will go to their planet. And those in the mode of ignorance, those who worship these ghosts, they will go to the planets where they reside. But then he says, yanti madhyaji no pima. But those who worship me, they come to this my supreme planet. Like that. So in Bhagavad Gita also there is an indication what is the destination of having faith in different modes, and then where you go like that. So another interesting thing given is that verse 28 is about food, how food is in three different modes. And Bhagavad Gita chapter 17, there's three verses which describes food in different modes. And you know, everyone eats, so that's very everyone has to eat every day to keep body and soul together. So, but we can have choice of what to eat, like that. So here we see, like, if you see in the city, there's who was telling? I think Prabhudas Prabhu was mentioning when he went to India, he never saw people eating. I mean, you know, because here you see, you go to the street, there's cafes and there's sitting places outside on the pavement there, and people would be walking and eating and sitting outside and eating. So it's very easily you can see people eating. But now India also catching up, these modern cafes and restaurants, but these eating habits are different. But the main thing is everyone has to eat. And there is a choice. So you can choose what type of food to eat. And you are what you eat and what type of food you associate with. That's what your life is pretty much directed in that direction. So what Bhagavad Gita says, Ayu Sattva Bala Rogya Sukha Preeti Vivardhana Rasya Snigdha Stira Ridya Ahara Satvika Priya. So what type of foodstuff do the people in mode of goodness, they eat? Ayu Sattva Bala Rogya. You know, the foodstuff which increases the duration of life, like that. Very pure foodstuff, which is very full of juicy, fatty, like that, which is, has good fat, not the bad fat, bad cholesterol, and like that. So these pure foodstuffs. So people, they are attracted to that, like that. So people in mode of goodness, they wake up early morning hours are very suitable for mode of goodness. They'll do some exercise and eat these fresh fruits and food in the mode of goodness, like that. And what will this do, this type of lifestyle do? They will have less disease, and that increases the life. Ayu Sattva Bala Rogya. So they will, so the lifespan will be increased like that. So here also it says, the food that is wholesome, pure and obtained without difficulty. So that's the simple food stuff. And such food stuff is actually we can offer to Krishna. The food stuff in mode of goodness we can offer to Krishna, and then it becomes transcendental. So devotees are not interested just in food in mode of goodness. They offer it to Krishna, and then it becomes transcendental. So it's called, prasadam is called also karma free diet or modes free diet, like that. So it has no trace of, no tinge of modes like that. And then people who are in predominantly in mode of passion, what type of food they like. It says here, food that gives immediate pleasure to the senses, like that, immediate pleasure. It's very spicy, you know, spicy, salty, like that. It gives instant, as you put on the tongue, it's instantly you'll have the effect, like that. You will enjoy temporarily, like that. So that type of food stuff, and it's in Bhagavad Gita say, katva amla lavana tishna tish tikshna rukshna vidahina. So this food stuff is like, you know, very pungent, like that, pungent, spicy, salty, that type of food stuff people like, and that also leads further to distress basically. And below that is food in mode of ignorance. So here it sees, it says that food that is unclean and causes distress. So both food in mode of passion and mode of ignorance, it causes distress basically. And in mode of ignorance, the food will be like unclean and it would be abominable and, you know, contaminated basically. So these non-vegetarian or meat products, they fall into that category. Because if you see, that's, it's just an, it's some living entity which has been killed, and it's like a dead body. So it's very unclean. A dead body is very unclean. It basically rots. And then if you eat that, it's like bodies becomes like a graveyard, you know, as all the dead bodies are going in. So it's a very low form of food. So, and what it causes is, food in the mode of ignorance causes painful disease and ultimately premature death, like that. So, so one thing is, people don't understand this. So this is very scientific fact that human beings are not meant to consume such type of food, because these dead bodies are basically rotting, and when you eat that, it stays in the system, stomach and intestine, for some time, and it releases toxins, and that's why it causes these painful diseases, because of that contamination within the system. So, and another thing, people justify that, oh no, we can eat, non-vegetarian food products, you know. And of course we can, but it's for people attached to the lower modes, those who cannot resist. And that too, as Shastra says, that too in with restriction, not unrestrictedly, like that. So I was studying here in a uni, and I had one professor. He was from Bangladesh, from your country. And he was Muslim, and he gave this example that, yeah, it's okay to have non-vegetarian products, because human beings have these two types of teeth, you know. So one flat teeth, and those canines, those sharp teeth. So you can have both the vegetarian as well as non-vegetarian. So you have choice. Yes, you have choice, but these food products are in mode of ignorance. Like that. And those attached to that can take that, but in a very restricted way, like that. And we were having this, Banu Maharaj showed this very beautiful, very nice slide presentation in La Trobe Uni, and there he quoted the verse from Manu Samhita, which gives the definition of mamsa. So mam, this flesh, or means mamsa. Mam means me, and sa means he. So people, they eat because immediately they get some pleasure, may get some pleasure, and whatever nutrients they want, protein or, you know, but it's very dangerous for in future lives. It will be, it says, that verse said that now, when someone eats mamsa, it's basically saying that now I'm eating you in future life, you eat me, like that. So this makes one think, you know, to come out of this ignorance and start eating nice, healthy food stuff, like that. So another thing that we were reading yesterday, with some devotees, that how people justify is, and also the so-called Christians who are not following Christianity properly, they would say that, oh, animals don't have soul, and you know, so it's okay to kill them, and the commandment that is there, thou shalt not kill, that only applies to humans. That's what they say. But it's not like that. Thou shalt not kill means not kill any living entity, like that. So because of being in these modes, people don't have this discrimination. So mind gets covered and they do any sort of sinful activity, and then they justify it with their own philosophy, which is in lower modes. So another, I was listening to this lecture of Srila Prabhupada, where one disciple told Prabhupada that there is this faith, Baha'i faith, in which they think of God is all merciful, so you can do whatever, and he in the end, whoever has got human life, they go to heaven because he is merciful, so he will forgive you. So like that. So this is a concoction. This is their own philosophy to justify their wrong actions, like that. So if God is all merciful, then you can do anything, basically, you know. So which is not correct. We have to take responsibility of our choice. So these three modes are there. So our choice is, we have a choice. In which mode do we want to exist predominantly? This is our choice. And we have the responsibility. And whatever the results are, it's our responsibility that we get those results, like that. So another thing, what happens is, as we were hearing that example, that originally the living entity is pure, and it's like the pure raindrop, but when it falls in the material realm, it gets muddy, and it gets covered by these three modes. So once you are covered, it's hard to understand that you are covered. It seems very natural, you know, very, very natural, oh, it's okay, we are enjoying, like that. So it's like, it's this material world is like a jail, but in a jail, if, you know, the prisoner is very happy jumping and playing, so it's very strange. He should strive to get out of that prison, like that. And what happens is, because of this covering of predominantly passion and ignorance, people think that the results arising from these modes, they are good. There is no problem. So like Bhagavad Gita says that, for example, the lust arises from mode of passion. And then further, there is anger and greed. They are, you know, pretty much in mode of ignorance. So people think it's okay, you know, okay to be lusty, it's okay to be greedy for something, you know, you have to strive for something, have to be passionate for something. So people think it's okay, like that, because they are so much covered. They don't have the knowledge of the scriptures. So they are trying to increase these things. So increase the lust, increase the greed, and no problem if you are angry and beat someone up, that's okay. Mm-hmm. It's just a natural expression of your feelings. Like that. So, but that's not correct. If you read Bhagavad Gita, it clearly says, Kamesha Krodesha Rajogun Samudbhava Mahashano Mahapapma Vidyena Meha Vairinam. So, it says, Mahashano Mahapapma. This lust which is born out of contact of mode of passion is the most sinful enemy. So, this is enemy actually. The thing which people are thinking is natural and it's good for you and you can increase it, Bhagavad Gita says it's the greatest enemy. So So then we can think about it and that, oh, this lust is an enemy actually. And if you increase this lust, it's like, and lust burns like fire. So there it says, dushpuranen analena cha, that if you provide more fuel to the fire, it will only increase. It cannot be satisfied like that. So same with this thing, this lust and greed, if you just feed them, so it just increases and increases and increases. And basically this, then the distress increases like that. And the covering of these modes increases. So the solution is to rise above the modes. And how to do that is first at least come to mode of goodness. And then it's easy to transcend like that. So this this loophole is there. As we were hearing, this loophole is there that if you are covered, so you can just try to come to mode of goodness, then it becomes easy to jump over. It's like mode of goodness is like that springboard, you know, that gymnasts use, you know, to jump and climb like that. So this is like that. So it's like that. So this and this knowledge knowledge arises from this mode of goodness. So that's a very important factor. With this knowledge and discrimination, it's easy to come over these modes. And very important is that on our own, it's very hard to come out of these modes. Like a person who is bound himself, he cannot release himself from the bondage. So he needs help of a person who is not bound. And such a person is the spiritual master. So spiritual master is, he is within this prison, he comes within this prison, but he is the representative of God. And he is totally spiritual. He is a representative of God and he is non-different from God. It says, Sakshadaritvena Samasta Shastra. All the scripture says that he, the Guru is non-different from God. Because he is carrying out the mission of God, that's why. Like that. So in Srimad Bhagavatam also, first canto, when Narad Muni, once he came to Hastinapur and he met Yudhishthir Maharaj, and there he is addressed as Bhagavan. Narad Muni is addressed as Bhagavan, although he is a Jiva Tattva, but still he is addressed as Bhagavan. But there Prabhupada explains that why is he addressed, because his mission is same as God. So he comes and he tries to deliver the living entities who are bound up in the modes. That's why he is addressed as Bhagavan. So we need the help of the spiritual master who basically guides us and unentangles us from these modes. And another thing that Krishna, how Krishna is always helping us. So with the medium of Guru, scriptures, and from within the heart, Krishna helps us. So for a devotee, it's devotees also deal with the modes, but there is all the help provided. Devotees don't deal with the modes in the same way as a non-devotee or a person who is not following scriptures, as he would deal. Devotees would face the effects of mode, but it would be directly given by Krishna to them, because Krishna takes direct charge of the devotees. And in Srimad Bhagavatam actually it says that these because of effect of these modes, there is this lust, anger, greed, and they are like demons which are, you know, troubling us. And Krishna is another name of Krishna, because he has this weapon called Chakra, you know, Sudarshan Chakra. So, and he is also called Chakra Yudha. Ayudha means the weapon, and one who has this weapon is called Chakra Yudha. So he just smashes these demons with his weapon. And his brother is Balram, he is called Hala Yudha. He has this plow weapon, as you see in this picture, you know. So he has this plow. So these two brothers, they just, you know, smash our pride and these modes. It becomes very easy if we take shelter of Krishna, like that. So most effective way is to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And what does this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra says? That, O Krishna, O energy of Krishna, please engage me in your devotional service. So this is just opposite to being in modes. So this prayer that we do every day, and it says, engage, from time immemorial, I have been serving the three modes, the Maya. So now I want to serve you, so please engage me in your service. And we are not habituated to that. So what happens? That's why when we chant, our mind goes here and there. Because mind wants to serve Maya. So that's why. And now you're decided and you're chanting and you're saying that, oh Krishna, please engage me in your service. So mind revolts. Because mind mind is affected by the three modes, so it revolts. No. I want to serve these modes. And now you're trying to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And you're saying basically, oh Krishna, I want to serve you. The mind says, no, serve the modes. So that's why we find it the difficulty. So that's why this chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is like most humbling. So it humbles you and it breaks the false pride which is there, which arises due to the effect of these modes. It breaks that. So that's why it's the whole process of Krishna consciousness is chanting and these paying obeisances. It's like you're just trying to become a servant and come to a lower platform, come to the original platform of tiny spirit soul and understand that we are Krishna's eternal servant. And these modes always try to puff you up like that. Oh no, you are big, 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 like that. Modes try to puff you up materially. And this devotional service, this chanting process, this tries to bring you down to your original platform like that. So this is why this chanting and attentive chanting is so important. So as we can come out of these, the influence of these modes. And and that's possible with the help of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, as we see. So, what we discussed was about faith and different food items that fall in these three different modes of material nature and how we should strive to come out of it with the help of spiritual master and scriptures. So I would like to end there and ask if there's any questions or comments on what we discussed. Yes, please. Yes, bro.
I heard that faith is in the mind, and that if you come to the Lord of goodness in the spirit within the three modes of material nature, and it's still one, but in the three modes of material nature, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that it's a new name and a pleased one, simple reaction. So,
look, it sounds contradictory. Same question someone asked Bhanu Maharaj recently. All the modes are binding, and mode of goodness is also binding. The sense of knowledge and happiness that comes, that's binding. But what Maharaj answered, what? This is least binding. Least. You know, in other modes, the bondage is more, and the, you know, binds you more. But in mode of goodness, the binding potency is less. That's why then we can transcend. So that's
you feel
Yes, yes.
Yes, still
binding, but the effect of binding is less.
Yeah.
So it's.
Yeah,
yeah, and the knowledge that comes, Maharaj was explaining, the knowledge that's there is the spiritual knowledge, the difference between, you know, spirit and matter. So what happens if someone is, you know, someone has caught hold of you, and he's a very strong person. So mode of ignorance is like that wrestler, big bodybuilder who has just caught hold of you. You can't, you know, just get released. And then passion is, you know, little less strong. And mode of goodness would be like a, you know, person almost same strength or little less strength who is just catching your hand. Then you can easily get out of it like that. It's binding, it's catching you, but it's easy. Mode of ignorance and passion will just bring you down more.
I think a lot of the problems is people don't understand the philosophy and don't think of it beyond the rise of pure nature.
Yes,
like
yes.
Like that there is something else, you know?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
They think that this industry, this happiness, this is some moment.
Yeah.
So there's no actual liberation.
Yeah.
I mean, it's freedom, but,
that's right. That's why devotees take this step. They go out, distribute books, do Harinam, so that people who are bound by the three modes, they can access this transcendental energy, transcendental vibration. And you know, these books are transcendental. So what happens? Kadam Kanan Maharaj was explaining, this Hare Krishna Mahamantra is transcendental. It's not from here. Golokera Premdan, Harinam Sankirtan. So when one catches this Mahamantra in the consciousness, it lifts you up like that. So it lifts you up from the modes like that. So that's why devotees are compassionate. So they even if people, they are entangled, they don't approach devotees. Devotees go out and approach them like that. So, Prabhu, you had something to say? Okay. Yes, Suman. Sorry, okay. Anyone?
I am a new devotee and I have a lot of questions. I want to ask three questions.
Three questions, okay.
First one is, you say that you don't need to eat, you should avoid eating meat because those are mood of ignorance. So, and also killing any animal, that's positive. So, what should you do? When a mosquito
try
to bite a mosquito.
Mosquito, okay.
Try to bite a mosquito, what should you do on that side? Do you avoid them or?
Yeah, try not to kill and avoid, you know, somehow. Yeah. Try not to kill. You can tell him, please go somewhere else. And bite my supervisor. Something like that. Yeah, some in the danger, then in self defense, yeah, then it's okay. In that's a very rare case, but in case to save your life, it's okay. And to kill a snake, you know, in rare case, yeah.
Question number two. Prabhupada defines some rule to take the Pashadam. Before taking the Pashadam or after taking the Pashadam, there are some rules Prabhupada defines for the Vaishnava. So could you please explain all these rules?
So as you have that book, Krishna Consciousness at
yeah.
Home, so there is a procedure given how, like we, the sattvic foodstuff in mode of goodness, fresh, fruity, vegetables, fruits, juice, milk products, you can offer to Krishna, and then you honor it as remnants of Krishna. After you have offered, you know, remove it from the offering plate, mix it with the other food, the remaining food, and then you can honor it as Krishna Prasadam, means mercy of Krishna. Then you have it. It's pretty simple. There's honoring prayers as well, you can say that as well. It's very simple.
Yeah.
say all the prayer. That's you also got that temple song book. In that it's given Sharira Vidyaja Ludindyataika, like that. And yeah, because prasadam time is coming, if I say whole prayer, everyone will say, okay, prayer done, now they will leave the class, there won't be okay, more questions.
There are some things that I got in another book, that is writing in Bengali, that you have to wash your hands, feet, legs before taking the prasadam, after taking the prasadam. You don't, you cannot eat prasadam here. You can eat yoga at night. You can eat prasadam facing your thigh.
Okay.
Those are the rules.
Yeah, there's many rules. So as we try to follow, as if it's practical, yeah, we try to do. So we try.
What are the rules and duty or dietary conditions that we need to follow during adolescence?
Oh, we fast from grains and beans. So other things, vegetables, milk, we can take like that.
And duty? Is there any particular duty?
The main motive of Ekadashi is to increase remembrance of Krishna. So yeah, you can try to do more reading or more chanting like that. So try to remember Krishna more on Ekadashi. Previously, Ekadashi they used to celebrate for 3 days. And they would not they won't eat anything like that. But now there's all these concessions, but you'll get the same effect. So if you just fast from grains and beans and do your devotional service, your chanting and other services, so that's good. And try to chant more if you can. Yes.
You gave very nice example of the modes, how they react, very graphic description. Now, sometimes we tell children to do chanting, but they say they have no time. So, and they have no time to even come to temple or take prasadam. So, what do you do in this situation? You want to get out of the 3 modes, but they are so much covered under the 3 modes. So, is there any way to help them out?
Yeah,
we can far away from temple.
Yes, yes.
We don't want to read the books because we have no time.
Right.
We are too busy.
Right.
And they have restriction with the devotees.
Yes.
So, and they don't want to read the books, I said. So, what choice have you got to tell?
And these students you are talking about? Or you said children, like these students who study in uni and all, you are talking about them?
Outside.
Okay, so yeah, we can at least say you can come once a week, or once at least once a fortnight, or you know.
They live 2,000 miles away from the temple.
2,000 miles. Oh.
Is there any way to share the
mountain temple? No table. There's some of your relatives or.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, we can call them and give your association over phone, and you send some books or CDs. Some CDs you can send of Kirtan. They may not be interested in philosophy and lectures, maybe some Kirtan. Then slowly by, and you keep in touch with them and be friendly. So they will be attracted by your good qualities, and when they hear Kirtan, many people I've heard, they want this Kirtan, and morning they will just put the Kirtan in their home, even if they are living far, they can't come to temple. I met one person just recently, he came to temple after many months. I said, where have you been? And he said, no, I've been at home and I can't come, I'm busy, but I hear this Kirtan every morning, and he also chants 2 rounds, so like that. So.
Thank you.
So we'd like to end there. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. God Premanandai.